Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now. With our arms outstretched, we reach for you. And Father, we know that your arms are always open to us and you're reaching back. And we're thankful that your arm is not short that you cannot save, nor is your ear heavy that you cannot hear. But Lord, we recognize the things that separate us from you. But thank you for the blood of Jesus, that now we have no separation. We're no longer alienated from you. But Lord, we have the right to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. And we thank you, Lord. We give you glory now. We give you honor, Lord. There is no one like you. Nobody like you. Lord God, we searched all over and can't find anyone quite like you. Father, we ask you right now that you would touch your people. Touch them, Lord God, where they're hurting. Touch them, Lord God, where they need help. Touch them, Lord God, with no hesitation, Lord God, so that their mind will be free, so that their spirit and soul will be free, so eventually, Lord, their body would be free. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Thank you for the word that you've given us to sustain and to strengthen us. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that you've given us to cover, to cure, cleanse, and to connect us to you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit of God that you've given to us to guide us and to give to us what belongs to you so that we will have no lack. We thank you for these things that you've given us, Lord God. And most of all, you've given us love and you've given us one another. Lord, help us to appreciate that. In the name of Jesus, Father, and I pray now that you'd give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as a pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet of which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that bring healing, deliverance, power, peace, and prosperity to those that hear and believe. And Father, after you've given salvation, after you've delivered and set free, made us whole, and given us all that we need to have in this one service, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you're holy and your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you now. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. And he would tell us something. She would say, you lied to me. And she began to make him feel bad about that. You got to be careful when people try to run a guilt trip on you to make you feel bad about not telling them all your inner secrets. Because they may want to know for a reason that you don't want them. Come on and say amen. They may want to know so they can go out and tell somebody and talk about you. And the Bible even says, don't cast your pearls upon the swine. Because it'll only trodden under their feet. I wish I had somebody here. What's precious to you, don't give it to somebody else because they will not take care of it. But Delilah, he kept going back to Delilah. And Delilah had these Philistines to come, and they made a proposition. They said, Delilah, if you can just get him to tell you what it is, because he's killed too many of our people. He's too strong. We can't do nothing with him. And everybody in Israel is getting confidence because this man here, he can't be beat. And so she said, just give me the money, 100 pieces of silver. There's something about silver that is the metal of betrayal. Amen. Jesus was betrayed with silver. And when Delilah saw, now she understood that he had lied to her before, but this time she realized he told the truth. And when she saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines and said, come, and he showed me all his heart. She said, he's told me everything. And when they came in, they brought the money, and she made him to sleep on her knees. You got to be careful where you lay your head. In other words, you got to be careful where you rest your mind. You got to be careful who you tell all your mind to, all your goals, all your vision. Amen? Because everybody's not in your corner. Everybody don't want to see you prosper. And it's not because it's them, but it's because of the devil in them. Now, if you don't believe that the devil get in people, you just ain't lived long enough to know it. Because the devil will influence people to be against you all because you think better. I want to do better than what I'm doing now. I want to achieve something. Amen? She made him to sleep upon her knees. And she called for the man, and the man came and shaved the 7 locks off his head and began to afflict him, and the strength went from him. And look at this. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, just to see what was going to happen. And, you know, a lot of people, that's what they do. They tell you stuff to see what you're going to do. You got to watch out for that. Preach, amen. You got to watch out for people that come tell you stuff just to see your reaction. Sometimes people don't really care about you, but they just want to know what you are. Oh, yeah, they're looking for you to act a fool. They know you're going to put on your clown suit. They know the circus is coming to town and some entertainment is about to happen. Whenever they tell you what they got to tell you, girl, let me tell you this. They call you on the telephone. You wonder why in the world they calling me. They ain't called my number. Why they texting me? Where you get my number from to begin with? But you got something to tell me, because you want to see how I'm going to react. Got to be careful who tell you things. Some people genuinely love you, but other folks, they want to hurt you and want to see you hurt. Come on and say amen. So he woke up out of his sleep, and he said, I'll go out as other times and shake myself. And he did not even know that the Lord had left him. Isn't it something if you're fired and don't even know it? My God, today, it's something if God fires you and you don't even realize you've been fired. You don't have a pink slip yet. God hadn't told you, I don't want you on the job anymore. You just get up, and then there ain't no power. You can't do what you used to do. You don't have the same anointing you used to have. You're not able to cast out devils. You're not able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. You're not able to operate and to function under the anointing of God, because he's fired you. Because you've been dabbling in stuff that you shouldn't be dabbling in. You've been saying things and doing things that you know you don't have any business doing, that is not becoming of a servant of the living God. And all of a sudden, you can't do it no more. Then you start settling because you can't do it. Amen. It's quiet, but it's all right. And so he found out the hard way that the Lord had left him. See, the only reason God was with him is so that he could deliver the children of Israel. Some of us think that God is with us so that we can fight against each other. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, even wickedness in high places. He said that the darkness of this world, he said that's who we wrestle against. But too busy wrestling against one another. We're too busy. And you know, we're too busy trying to steal church members. You come to our church, you do that. You know, we're wrestling against one another. When God is saying that we wrestle against the enemy. There's a principal spirit everywhere you go, you need to recognize. And I'm going to give you this wisdom for free. Amen. Whenever you go into a place, an area, or a region, there's a principal spirit. This spirit, you can tell what it is as soon as you go in a place, because if it's poverty, you'll see slums. If this principal spirit is sorcery, then you're going to see drugs and you're going to see alcohol, and people are going to indulge in it because that's the principal spirit. If the principal spirit is gossip, there's always mess going on. If the principal spirit is murder, that's why you have some cities that are the murder capitals of the world. Come on and say amen. And so we need to know that there's a principal spirit in Clarence, there's one in Natchitoches, there's one in the region that we need to identify and we need to be able to come against. Maybe I'm going too far with that. Y'all don't hear me. We got to understand that we don't wrestle against one another. But that's why God had raised Samson up, so that he'll wrestle against the enemy, so that he would defeat the enemy. But they took him, they plucked his eyes out, they put his eyes out. And so when we look at this, we understand that they took him, they put his eyes up. We look at his prison. First point, his prison was painful because they took out his eyes. They took away his vision. And without a vision, the people what? Perish. You have no strength, you have no power, and you have no vision. So what good are you now? You can't see and you have no power to go nowhere if you could see. Oh, come on and say amen. And so the first thing they did was put his eyes out, because you then cannot see how to harm me. You then can't see how to defend yourself. You can't see what God wants you to do, and you can't see the direction that God wants you to go in. And so the enemy, first off, he tried to get your vision blurred. That's why he put stuff in your face so you can't see around it. That's why he put mountains there. That's why he make you focus on all your problems. He make you focus on all your pain. He make you focus on who said what. You can try to pray, but all you can see is the person that hurt you. You can come on and say amen here. You can try to pray, but all you can see is what happened yesterday. You can try to pray and you can't see nothing else. You go to bed and you're thinking about what you're going to tell them tomorrow when you get back to work, because you can't see nothing else. Well, y'all make me think I'm the only one. They took him to Gaza and they put his eyes out. That's the first thing they did. They took his power and they took his vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people what? Perish. If you don't have any vision, the word perish means you cease to exist and you cease to be effective. If you have no vision, you're not going to be effective in life. That's why it's important to instill vision in our children when they're young. If you instill vision in them when they're young and tell them you need to have goals, you need to, what are you trying to do? What you're going to do? You need to try to challenge them. And sometimes we don't want to challenge them. And when they realize, like Sister Nettie said, when they realize they can eat without working, they won't leave your house. They'll never go to work. They'll never do anything but sit there at your house, and they're keeping the house company. They're making sure ain't nobody coming in. I wondered if I can get some talk back here. Maybe I'm already too long. I'm 20 minutes in. The prison was punishing because they took him and they put him in fetters and they locked up his hands and his feet, and then he did grind at the prison house. They took him, and look at what they did. They took him and they put him to doing the work that a female slave would normally do. Oh, you supposed to be such a macho man. We're going to make you work like a woman. Yeah. Amen. And so what the enemy wants to do is to take what you can see and then take your identity, break your self-esteem down, and put you in a place where you don't even believe in yourself. Amen. So if somebody speaks hurting words to you, that's the words of the enemy. That's not the words of God, because God wants to lift you up. He's in the business of building people, not breaking them down. And so they put him in the grind house in the prison to grind. Amen. They put him there to grind. And when they did this, they put him there, and as he pushed around grinding the corn or grinding or whatever he was doing, they put him there. And while he was doing these things, they put him in the grind house. And while he was doing it, he was exerting energy. He was just getting tired and going around and around. Sometimes that's what happens to us when the enemy has arrested us. When we are caught up in the prison of the devil, he makes it where it seems like we ain't making no progress. That all we're doing is going around and around. And the funny thing here is that he couldn't even see that he was just making a circle. And sometimes you can't even see that you're making a circle. You keep going around in circles, but you can't see it. The devil got you locked into this thing. And that's why every year at the same time you get depressed the same time of year. That's why every year at the same time you get broke the same time of year. That's why every year at the same time your husband acts up, your wife acts up. And every year at the same time you start complaining, and I just want to be left alone. I don't want to go to church. That's why you stop going. Every summer you stop going to church and you come back the first of the year, because I got a new resolution. I wish I had people in here that understood what I'm saying. If y'all get with me, I can close it. He says it. How be it, as he was grinding, his hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaven. The covenant here that he had made with God, the vow that he made because of his hair, God remembered the vow. And look, the thing is, he was still somewhat had some strength because he was able to grind by himself. And here he was, his hair began to grow. And sometimes we have to understand that our strength comes back when we don't even notice it. God doesn't have to do something fanatical and theatrical for you to get your strength. You know, sometimes we think that if God just knocked me down, if God just do this, then I can get some strength. Sometimes he gives it to you while you're driving in your car saying thank you. Sometimes he'll give it to you the next morning you wake up, you realize, I don't even know what I was mad about. I don't even know what had me depressed. But I know one thing, I feel 100% better today. God will do it without notice. God will do it almost in secret, amen? And you won't even realize when things are beginning to happen in your life. And then you'll look around, and that's why the old people would sing this song, my soul look back and I wonder how I got over, because I don't even know when I got over. All I know is that I'm over it now. I'm over all the stuff they said. I'm over all the stuff they did. I'm over all what the devil said. I'm over all the things that looked like I was hurting from. Now I'm healed from. I no longer have sores. I now have scars to show you that I've been through something, and I don't have any pain anymore. Do I have any witnesses here? And the one thing I like about it is that God sometimes don't tell you that you got strength now. He said, let the weak say I'm what? Strong. He don't even tell you that I'm finna strengthen you. He strengthens you, and he don't want you to tell people. So he didn't even tell Samson. He didn't say, I'm giving you strength. Because if you let the Philistines know, they're gonna go back and shave your head again. And so now you learn how to keep your mouth shut, and you talk to God instead of talking to everybody else. You learn how to keep your mouth shut and quit telling all your secrets. Quit laying your head in somebody's lap. Go to work and do your job and forget about the rest and do what God said do. That's what God wants us to be. We look at his hair start to grow again. And then they've decided that, hey, well, one day we want to get Samson because we want to make sport. We want to make sport of him. And so go bring him to us because we want to give a great feast to our God Dagon. Dagon is a god that had a fish bottom part of his body and a man top part of his body. They believed, because they were fishermen, that Dagon was the one that blessed them to be able to fish so well and to have plenty to eat. Dagon was their god. If you remember, the Bible says that one time they took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in the house of Dagon after they lost it, after Eli's sons lost it, and when they put the Ark in there, Dagon had failed, and God broke off his hands and his nose. You see, God would not let any other god stand before him. That's why we got to quit idolizing people, and we got to quit idolizing things, because God is not going to allow you to keep putting stuff ahead of him. We keep putting all kinds of things ahead of God. We'll spend more money on stuff than we do put in church. Come on and say amen. We can put dollars in church, but we'll spend hundreds of dollars on other stuff. Which I had somebody here. If that's you, you better say amen. Amen. You better say amen, for I think that's you. If you can't say amen, say I'm the man. Or say oh man. Or say ouch man. Leave me alone man. Come on and say hallelujah. And he said God, the Bible says that they took him and put him in the house of their God. They wanted to have a big sacrifice and celebrate. Now this is what boggled me in my mind. Here it was, they were sacrificing and celebrating while the people of God were sitting back hiding. They were sitting back worried about their enemies, and these people were celebrating because God gave them victory. When God gives us a victory, we think it's time to call our friends and go get drunk. Come on now, because God has just blessed me. Look at my new house. Let's get together. I ain't going to church tomorrow because I got a hangover today. I wish I had somebody. We know how. When I get my new car, I drive and tell everybody I got, look at, I got tutu. Look at my car. But then I can't pick nobody up and bring them to church. I wish I had somebody here. I got my new job. Let's go out and celebrate. But when it come time to pay those tithes, give a good offering. Give something on your pastor's anniversary. Help with the missions and the benevolent fund. We can't do that because they need to go to work, because I work just like they need to work. Can I preach a little while? Will y'all say amen for me a few times and I'll get out of your way? And then they went and they celebrated. They said, we want to celebrate because our God has given us victory. They begin to celebrate and they said, our God has delivered into our hands the destroyer of our country. Do you know that the devil wants to celebrate every time he binds you up? he's slapping high five. Every time he gets you bound up and in prison and you can't say nothing, got your clothes in hush mouth and you can't, I don't even feel like praying. That the devil slapping high five said, we got him. We did that, didn't we? All the little imps running around say, it don't take much to get her. All you got to do is tell her somebody said something, and she mad with the world. She'll cuss everybody out. She'll act a fool. You better watch her. All you got to do is just throw something her way, a little bit of bait her way. Then she turned into the Incredible Hulk. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Oh, come on and say amen. But look at this. It came to pass as their hearts were merry, as they were getting drunk and full, and they thought everything was all right, and they called to make sport. You got to understand that sometimes people want to use you as entertainment. That word sport means that he was used as entertainment. They wanted to be entertained by him. And sometimes we, as the church of God, can't allow the world to be entertained by us. Oh, don't be an entertainment piece for the world. Don't give them all your business. Don't look, and you know, we got to get better at this as a church. We got to quit going out into the world and telling the world how bad the church folks are. Why do you think the world don't want to come to the church? Because we talk too bad about the church. We tell them all our business. They don't never come to you and tell you how the DJ ain't no good when he DJ at Tokay's or whatever. Don't nobody ever talk about how bad off the people are at the trail ride. Oh, come on and say amen. But we always got something negative to say about somebody at the church. I don't like her. Look at how she dressed. I don't like her weave. She need to get us some new wigs. We're always talking about somebody, but God is not pleased in that. We need to stop talking about people and start glorifying God. When they ask you how church was, I don't care if you didn't think the sermon was for you. You need to say, God brought a word to us that changed people's lives. You need to begin to glorify God. When they say, how was prayer meeting? Or we prayed till somebody got healed. When they ask who, I don't know, but somebody got healed. Oh, come on and say amen here. Or what happened at choir rehearsal? Oh, Lord, we sung till the angels got with us, and we begin to sing all together. Oh, yeah, we said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You need to tell them, you need to come see what a good time we're having. I don't care if you had a business meeting and everybody left with tears in their eyes and lips poking out. You need to say, we got business straight. Our church is going to move on. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, come on and say amen. We don't need to get up and talk against one another. We need to get up and glorify God and build one another up. If you edify people, God will edify you. In other words, if you build people up, God don't have a problem building you up. God will build you up, and when people see you built up, they'll draw to you, and you can say, it wasn't all about me. It's all about him. I wish I had somebody here. Oh, praise his name. And so when they begin to want to make sport of him, they call for Samson out of the prison house. He was there in the grinder. And the word grinder, awal, in the Hebrew, it means to be between the jaws. Sometimes we're between the jaws. Seem like we're being ate up. Seem like we're in a vice and can't get out. And we can't move until the devil moves us. And you know, the devil has to draw us out sometime. In order for God to get the glory, he allows these things to happen. He allowed them to be victims of the Philistines only to get the glory from Samson's life. See, the purpose of Samson, when we talk about this, we got to understand that Samson had a purpose. But let me get to this part first. And let's look at verse 28, try to bring it to the close. And Samson called on the Lord. As they began to celebrate, he called on the Lord. See, we understand his prison, that it was painful and punishing, but then we see his prayer. His prayer was, Lord, remember me and let me repent. He said, Lord, he said, remember me. I pray and you strengthen me. He said, one time, all I need is just one time. You see, if the devil could let you get that one time, he knows better. That's why he keep bringing you trouble after trouble, distraction after distraction, because you know all it takes is one time for God to do something in your life, and he's lost his grip. He knows that all it takes is one time for God to heal you, and forever you'll believe that he's a healer. Oh, yes, amen. Oh, he knows that all it takes is one time for him to deliver you, and you'll always say, God is a deliverer. deliverer. All it takes is one time for you to get through your trouble, and you'll say, God is a bridge over troubled water. Do I have any witnesses? All it takes is one time for God to feed you, and you'll say, he's bread in a starving land. Do you get what I'm saying here? We got to understand that he said one time, all I need is one time, and you can avenge me from the Philistines from my two eyes. In other words, he said, I want you to give me one chance to get me strong enough so that I can get back vengeance for them taking my vision, for them destroying my hopes, for him destroying my dreams. Do I have any witnesses? And he said Samson took hold of the middle of pillars. You see, what we got to understand here is that when we pray, all we got to do is remind God. You ain't got to instruct God how to do nothing. God knows how to do it. He knows what you're praying before you yet speak. And so I don't need to try to instruct God. God, I need you to move the table to the left. I'm not Gideon, so I'm not going to try God with a fleece. I'm going to trust God with my faith. Do I have any witnesses here? And he said, Lord, one time, all I need is you to give me strength so that I can get vengeance for my eyes. And he began to say, remember me, Lord. Remember I was born for this. Remember my purpose. Remember I'm repenting, God. I'm sorry for all that I did. And that's what we have to do. We have to repent to God. And the word repent, somebody said it means to turn away. It does mean to turn away. But let's dissect the word. Re means to do something again. Pent means something high. And so like you got a penthouse. And so when you repent, that means you go from the low state and you restore it to the high state. God take you from a low place. That's why David said, he picked me up out of the miry clay and placed my feet on a rock to stay. Do I have any witnesses that say, I've been like David. I want the Lord to pick me up. They used to have a song that was out that said, Jesus will pick you up if you have to reach way down. Do I have any witnesses? Say yeah. When I look at what Samson did, Samson said, Lord, all I need to do is get you to remember me, and I'm going to repent for what I've done, because I know I got something else to do. This is what I was born for. But after his prison and his prayer, he realized his purpose. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which the house stood on. See, you don't have to be able to see, but as long as you can do something. You see, the devil may have blocked your vision, but you need to know that God said just do something. If you just get willing, and he said if you're willing, you shall eat of the good of the land. God said be willing to do something. Be willing to do something else other than just sit there. All I do is come to church, slide on the back pew before the benediction comes. I slide on out. Nobody don't even know I'm there. Do something. God wants to give you victory. We're saying I feel so defeated, but what have you done? You hadn't tried to do anything. You haven't even tried to pray. You hadn't tried to praise God. It's almost a sin to lift your hands. If people tell you to praise the Lord, all you do is grunt. And when you praise the Lord, I guarantee you'll feel better. Do I have any witnesses here that realizes that you have purpose? When you find your purpose, then your power is restored. God raised them up. The Bible says in verse 30 that he bowed himself. You see, at first he was puffed up. At first he had pride, but he bowed himself. He said, I got to get down and try to do something with myself. And he began to get down and he pushed against the pillars. See, sometimes we think God is going to make us do something. God is saying, I'm looking for somebody who's willing to do what I want them to do. Oh, come on and say amen. He's looking for somebody that he ain't got to put a cross on your back, that he'll take up your cross and follow him. Do I have any witnesses? Say yeah. Say yeah. He said, God, God raised him up, and his purpose was to destroy the Philistines. And so God said, I remember the purpose. Now, what is the purpose? The purpose is the original intent. What God intended from the very beginning. See, God has an intent for everybody in here. God has a purpose for you. I wish I had somebody. Your purpose is not just to come to work and do your job and go home and don't talk to nobody.